Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Get Real with Casey Kasem, the podcast taking a look behind the scenes of the fantasy sports industry through interviews with some of your faves in the business. On this episode, I was honored to get to sit down with J. Mike, aka John McCann, someone you may know from the Open Bar podcast, the Dynasty Dummies podcast, J. Mike's Journal, and many more. We talked about how he played football through college, finding encouragement, the importance of family, the J. Mike Invitational, sharing his journal with the world, and so much more. This is definitely one you don't want to miss. Sure, he doesn't read the phone book in this one, but it's still worth it. If you know, you know. If you aren't already following J. Mike on Twitter, go give him a follow at J. Mike Check. You can follow me on Twitter at TheCaseyKasem and the podcast at GetReal_pod. Feel free to hit me up on Twitter to talk about the show. I love interacting with the listeners. Y'all rock. Get Real is a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will. And now, here's my conversation with J. Mike on Get Real with Casey Kasem. All right. Hey. J. Mike is a dope individual who is here with me tonight and very popular man with people because I tweeted out tonight, who do you want to come on the show? And I had an overwhelming response. J. Mike. Well, guess who's here? Who are you, sir?
It's your boy, J. Mike. Live and in full effect. What's good, Casey?
Oh, you know, I'm in such a great mood right now because you're here. You've been my buddy for a while. You are a great fantasy football mind. You're the guy who got me on a podcast for the first time. It's just a lot of stuff. We'll get into it. But I'm feeling good. I'm feeling real good right now. J. Mike, I want to know, how did you start playing fantasy football anyway?
That's a fantastic question because I think sometimes I'm just like, man, where did it all even begin? even before I jump into that, Casey, this show's been dope. It's been dope for the longest. And it's a privilege to be able to join you this evening. So thank you for having me. Truly, 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 I appreciate you. You've been the dopest for a long time. So thank you. Yeah, when I think about fantasy football, I just remember back in my college days and majority of that was us basically going to football practice and clowning around playing Mario Kart in the dorm rooms. We were just looking for various things to try to be able to pass time and have fun. And between all the games of Madden and NCAA college football on the various systems, this is probably back in 2008. 2008. That was my senior year in college. And I was just trying to keep, hey, what is a way that I can help keep my friends involved that I've made over these last 4 years? And for some reason or another, I don't remember. I think I just jumped into the fantasy football space in terms of saying, oh, do y'all see this? Like we can still battle against each other and have all this fun and clown around. And a bunch of guys were into it, but nobody ever wants to run it. Nobody ever wanted to do that piece of it. Right. So I was like, okay, well, I'll jump in and try to be commissioner and figure out what the heck points per reception is and how to set these lineups. And I remember we just got started with a free league on ESPN, and it's my same group of friends from college. We still have that same league going to this day, and it's been a lot of fun to be able to learn and grow over the years. But that's really where it all began, a redraft league in college, just to try to help keep my buddies together.
That's a great story. And yeah, we started out on ESPN, a close-knit group, a long time. It's cool to see how all these leagues are staying together through all these years. That's so dope. So, okay, well, what about sports? You brought up, you know, Madden and horsing around playing football and doing all of that. What was your relationship with sports like when you were growing up?
Sports was life at one point, Casey. It was everything, and some of my earliest memories are literally playing football in the hallway of a two-bedroom home. Me and my brother just basically playing football. And my brother was 9 years older than me. And so here I am, you know, 5-6 years old, running down the hallway trying to truck him. And but played football, played basketball all throughout adolescence. And I remember I played football. I think my first year of football was age 6 or age 7. I started really young, and I played all the way through college, which, I mean, truly at one point football was life. It was one of the main places that I felt like I got a ton of validation because I was good at what I did and people enjoyed it and my family got to come together. And so there's a whole nother backstory behind that. But sports played a very pivotal role in terms of just my formation of being able to lean into teams, lean into understanding more about me, leaning into the things that I enjoy and what does it look like to not always get your way, but still do what's best for the benefit of others. And I believe that at least for me, being able to tinker in baseball, to tinker in track, but basketball and football were the primary ways for me. So when I thought about at least what my future to look like, I know every kid dreams of growing up and playing ball in a professional league of some sort. And I was obviously one of those kids that dreamed that too. But even being able to play at the collegiate level was something that I just thought was a true treat. But yeah, ball was life for a very long time for me.
When you were growing up, did you have a favorite football team or a favorite player?
So this messed with people for a long time, but for the longest, I always had favorite players, Casey, but I didn't necessarily have favorite teams, but I would just like the team that my favorite player was on. So as a kid, one of my favorite things to do, and again, I talk about my brother a lot. He and I were super close. As a kid, he introduced me to football, to sports, to all the things. And so we would play Tecmo Bowl on Nintendo, on the original Nintendo. And I always loved being the 49ers. And I was always I always wanted to play with Jerry Rice. And I loved having Jerry Rice. And so essentially, I would take Jerry Rice, put him in the backfield at running back and just go crazy because he was a monster on that game. And I remember one time I was playing my brother and he would always just beat the crap out of me in that game, like bad. And the one time that I was about to win, he hit the reset button on the Nintendo and I was heated. So I'm like, you know, throwing hands with my brother. And again, that doesn't go well when your brother's that much older and that much bigger. But yeah, 49ers fan for Jerry Rice. I remember loving the Indianapolis Colts because I was a huge Edgerrin James fan. And from there, also loving Larry Fitzgerald and the Arizona Cardinals. So those were the three teams that I grew up like really, really leaning into. And then by the time I got to high school, I remember being a Jacksonville Jaguars fan because our school was the Jaguars. And I believe when the new high school opened, and I don't know if you remember this, but the old school Jaguars logo, it had like that big, huge Jaguar on it. The new one, but like the old one. And it was, I know it was really cool, but they took time to be able to paint the middle of our field to be that Jaguar. And it was really cool at the time. It's like, we're not big. We ain't got money like that. Like, I don't know who's doing this. I don't know if it's a labor of love of what. But been a Jaguars fan since then and been able to connect with a lot of dope folks on that too.
Yeah, I was about to ask if you were still a Jaguars fan.
Yeah, I still root for
you. You were when I was guesting on Open Bar, so I was just making sure. But who's your favorite player now? Do you have one?
Favorite player now is Justin Jefferson, just because I was a huge fan of him in terms of that scouting space. But I don't root for the Vikings.
Yeah, I'm not switching allegiance now. Nope, not doing it.
So it's over. But Justin's the guy right now. I'm a big fan of his.
Yeah, good reasons too. So, yeah. So let's get into, you brought up football and how it was an important part, and you played college football. Mm-hmm. What got you to want to keep going at it? What was the story of, you know, I'm not going to spoil too much, but I listened to J. Mike's journal. And so, you know, you go back and listen to some of the stuff today. So, people go check that out. But also, if you want to go ahead and just kind of tell your story about football growing up and into college.
Sure. I just remember growing up, football was always the connector for me when it came to relationships, when it came to friendships, when it came to just meeting folks. Generally speaking, I am an introvert. And sometimes people hear that and they're like, wait, what? That don't make sense. How do you podcast and you're an introvert? But it's one of those things where if I'm in a group of people, I do have the ability to try to have conversation and try to at least be normal and not be super duper socially awkward, which I am a lot of times, truthfully. But the football always gave me that space. And so playing, at least for me, one of the reasons why I continued to do so was I was able to build a lot of relationships and build friends in spaces where I wasn't always someone who was going to have all the best grades or have all of the finest, this, that, or the third, but I got a ton of validation in being really good at making people's lives miserable on the football field. And so for me, and especially as I got older, and I know this probably takes a weird term, but one of the things that I recognized after I had finished playing in college is that the football field was like the one place where my father, my biological father, would come and really cheer me on, be for me, claim me like, oh, that's my son, that's my son. And he was always there for that. And the other 9 months of the year, I wouldn't see him, hardly heard from him. And I know it probably goes a little bit deeper than maybe you're asking, but I think that one of the weird things for me, at least growing up, is that my mom found out she was pregnant, and she told my dad, like, hey, I'm pregnant, blah, blah, blah. Third child, it's a baby, it's awesome, this is gonna be great. And instead, my dad split. My dad was like, yeah, no thanks. And so that kind of left a weird dad issue thing as I grew up, and I've learned a lot more about that over time. But football was always the one place where my dad would come. He would come to my games. He would have his crazy cowbell that he would ring and always claim, yeah, that's my boy, that's my boy. So I got a ton of validation from that. And even after I finished playing ball in college, like it messed with me for a long time, because I felt like I didn't have a ton of purpose and I didn't have a ton of vision. I said, okay, I'm not playing ball anymore. Now what? What does this life look like now that my dad's not wanting to be an integral part? My earliest memory, and this is one of the more jacked up things. One of my earliest memories is being like 5 or 6, and my mom just telling me, "Hey, your dad's gonna come pick you up this weekend. Make sure you get all your stuff together." And I remember I had clothes laid out, and again, I'm like 5 or 6, so I don't know how many 5 or 6 year old kids you know, but like. No, order is not necessarily the thing, right?
Yeah.
A lot of chaos, a lot of energy. And I just remember laying out all my clothes, laying out all my stuff, and getting a bag together and just really being ready. Like, man, my dad's coming to pick me up this weekend. It's going to be great. And like, I sat on the couch looking out the window all day long, like just wanting, yearning for him to come. And like the whole day came and I stayed on the couch all day long. And he never came that weekend. And I feel like a lot of my time on the football field was just kind of chasing that approval. Yeah, kind of weird, but that's part of the story.
Not weird at all. I get that validation part. And how did you go from, you know, that kind of stuff? I mean, you're in a place right now where I would say you are like a positive, super positive guy, and you are, I mean, and it's real positivity too. It's not a show or a front. How did you get to that point? How are you able to persevere and get to where you are?
Whole lot of therapy, whole lot of Jesus, Casey. Whole lot of therapy, whole lot of Jesus, and just really, understanding that my story is not something to weigh me down, but it's something that I can leverage to be able to use my voice and use the things that have happened in my life to connect with others and encourage folks and let them know that there's hope, and that that it doesn't begin or end with just validation or trying to see what other people need, but truly finding hope and finding peace and resting in the fact that I was created on purpose for a purpose, to love people well, to show people Jesus, to try to be able to live in such a way that brings that encouragement and that hope on a day-to-day basis. Because a lot of people chase a lot of things in this life, Casey. we get to the end of the bottom of certain things and still feel empty even when we get what we want. But that's that's where my hope is. That's in Jesus. And I think that that's something that just been able to help me spring forward and understand and breathe life into folks, not beat anything over anybody's head, but just be a breath of fresh air for people, to be there for people and love and encourage well. So that's a lot of what energizes me and gives me life to help folks moving forward.
Be encouraged. There you go. Just like, that is exactly what's up. And when I see that, or when I hear that from you especially, I'm like, yes. So, well, I alluded to J. Mike's journal earlier, but it was one of those things where you kind of, you get raw and you get down to exactly what's going on and how you feel. And it's great to see, because listening to it, I could be like, there were parts where I was like, wow, that's a lot like how I feel, or that's a lot like I've felt in certain situations. And I know that you've gone through a lot of really rough things that, you know, is just, yeah. And you are where you are now. And it's great to hear that as a podcast. What made you decide that you wanted to all not just write it down, but put it out there into the atmosphere?
Writing was always something that I loved, Casey. Writing was always something that gave me life. I'd write short stories. I'd write poetry. Just to be able to put something on paper was super helpful and therapeutic, like all throughout my life, a lot of lonely nights, a lot of discouraging days. And so as I got older and fast forward the how the podcast was birthed, my brother, that I've made plenty mention to earlier in the podcast, my brother tragically passed away in April of 2019, suddenly. And I just remember feeling defeated and hurt and like just unsure of what to do or how to function or anything. And so from there, I went and sought therapy. Actually, it wasn't truthfully, I didn't seek it. It was something that people were like, hey, you might want to try this, because you're not you. And, you know, this is a strange time and strange things for you to try to be able to do this. And you don't have to go through it alone. And typically when I get frustrated, when I get in my feelings, when I'm not in a great space, I retreat to the area between my ears, because it's a safe space. People can't hurt you there. You're pushing everything else out and just kind of staying secluded. But it's also super dangerous because you're only stuck there with your thoughts. And that tends to be a bad thing when you don't process or get those things out, because then you take it out on people you love. And it's a lot of things that aren't great. And so after my brother had passed, I saw therapy, and my therapist and my counselor was essentially talking me through, like, hey, maybe it would be a good idea for you to be able to put something out to talk about how you feel. And immediately it just kind of hit me like, oh yeah, like I don't write a ton anymore, but I do, obviously was heavy into podcasting between the Open Bar and the Dynasty Dummy stuff and other spots that I got to guest on. And so I was like, okay, like, hey, this makes sense for me to be able to talk through what I'm feeling, what I'm going through, and have it be something that allows other people to understand that whatever they're dealing with, they're not alone either. And I didn't grasp that at first in terms of it being something that could help people forward until I got ready to actually record that first episode. And that was the one that helped me to put everything into perspective, that said, hey, this isn't about you, and it's not about necessarily having the answers. It's just about being transparent and letting people see, yes, well, it's okay to not be okay. The struggle is real, but we can get through it together. So that's where that was birthed from.
Sorry, I have to. Okay. Yeah, I lost my mom when I was 22. Look, I lost my mom when I was 22, and it was sudden, out of the blue. Didn't know it was coming. Knocked the breath out of me. Knocked the life out. And hearing you talk and hearing you share your experience, like, nobody I knew at that time could understand what I was going through. So it hit my heart a certain way. It just, you know. All right. We are getting real here on Get yeah. Real with Casey.
that's what it's here
didn't
for.
Didn't know that was going to. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, it is super awesome. And you said you don't write a lot now, but you have written a lot in the past and you podcast as well. You were talking about that. The very first time I ever heard you podcast, I believe, was on Gabe Gearing's show, Grab Bag Fantasy. So I went back and kind of listened to part of his episode when he was on this show. He was the very second episode ever of this podcast. And I mean, we talked about you and it was great times to just kind of reminisce about that. And going on that show, do you remember like meeting Gabe and going on that show and how your experience was?
My dear brother. Oh man. I love that guy dearly. I do. I remember that very well. And I remember, I can't specifically remember the year. It's going to be perhaps 2015-ish. But I remember getting into fantasy podcasts and thinking, like, I could do this. Like, I just remember listening and thinking, this would be a really cool avenue to either pursue a job or just have as a fun hobby or get to know some folks. Like, I think I could do this. And I remember putting out a tweet at one point and it said something to the effect of, hey, in the next year, I want to, you know, I want to be able to put out, you know, put out some sort of fantasy content, be in the fantasy space somehow, some way. And that was birthed more from even the Kevin O'Brien's. He was the fantasy engineer. I forgot the specific name of his podcast, but he had someone from DLF on. I think it might have even been Ken Moody. And he was just talking about, like, what would you do to encourage someone, or what would you tell someone who wants to get started? He's like, just go out and do it. Like, go out and try. Like, go out and just create content and just shoot your shot and see what happens. And I just remember thinking, yeah, let me just try. And so I remember specifically going on or being introduced to Gabe and going on his podcast just to be able to check it out, because he would bring on just normal folks who had rosters or who had teams, and to be able to just come on and talk about their team. And I was like, yeah, I'm like, hey, I've been listening. I dig what you do. Like, I'd love to be able to come on and check it out. And so we got connected and enjoyed the time there. And I think it was at that time as well. I think it was Tim Torch who I was actually on that episode with. So Gabe, Tim Torch, and I were on that episode talking through my roster. And we had a ton of fun and we hit it off well. And I was extra nervous, sweating bullets the entire time, but I was excited, like just pumped to be able to do it. And Gabe and I continued to stay in touch and he was cool people. And then the opportunity came up from, shout out to Tyler Gunther. Tyler was like, hey, you know, we're looking at adding folks to the open bar and heard you and Gabe really had good chemistry here. And they love your voice and things of that nature. We might have an opportunity for you to come on and join us for an opportunity here. And at the time they had a spot on their flagship show for Dynasty Happy Hour, as well as trying to figure out whatever was going to be happening with the open bar. And I remember thinking, okay, this might be like a tryout per se to see where I would land. And essentially eventually landed with Gabe, and we started with the open bar, and we ran with it from there. And it was a really, really exciting time. It was new. It was different in the midst of all sorts of just blur of life. I was thrust into the fantasy space, and Gabe was always and has always been and continues to be super gracious with me. But he was the main catalyst in encouraging me forward, and just the friendship and the bond that we built in that time was truly to be able to call someone my brother, Gabe. Like, I don't take that lightly. I know he knows that, but that is truly my brother, truly someone that I love dearly and want all the best in life for, and I'm excited to continue to build with him in life. So it was a crazy time to get started, but it was awesome.
It was awesome. And the open bar we're going to kind of segue into that. But the open bar, okay, first and foremost, everybody loves the open bar. Everybody wants to be on the open bar. Everybody wants to watch the open bar and get in the chat and talk in the open bar. First and foremost, how cool is it to see that there's like this core group of people that are just like in love with watching it, and they come on when their friends are on and watch and actually interact in the chat?
It's absurdly humbling. It is absurdly humbling to be able to be a place that people want to come to and they want to kick it just to hang. Like, it doesn't matter who the guests are. And it didn't matter who we had on the docket. We knew that it was going to be Gabe, myself, and the chat.
Yeah, for sure.
We knew it was rotating guests, and people thoroughly enjoyed it. And I think that for me, humbling is the word, encouraging is the word, and really strange to have people who value you that you may never meet in real life, but want to spend an hour and a half to 2.5 hours every week to either hear what you say or be heard, right? Just and I love the way, and shout out to the FFRX, Derek McCreath. Derek said, and I forgot the line exactly, but he was like, the open bar podcast is the place. It's like the intersection, the hub of where any and everybody in the fantasy space can come and enjoy themselves, from the biggest of big names, the Matt Wallmans, the Matt Harmons, and the likes, to the folks who were just starting podcasts or never on a podcast before, like everybody and everybody in between. It was a place where we would have people come and thoroughly enjoy the time. And it wasn't about anybody chasing anything for themselves, but being part of something bigger and being part of a community that really valued you and really cared about what you had to say. And it was all centered around this crazy game of fantasy football, but topics range from best condiment drafts to to just general things in life. And obviously to, hey, is Russell Wilson that dude or not? And it's absurd. It's really absurd to think about. Truly.
Well, we all want to hang out with our friends one night a week. So it's awesome. And, you know, it's your favorite podcast.
So, that's
right. There you go. And it was my first time ever being on a podcast. And I remember that first experience and, you know, messaging with Gabe, what do I need to do this? Right. Like, how do you podcast? Do I need like special headphones? Do I need a micro? What exactly do I need? When you first started podcasting, what was your reaction to everything? How'd you go about figuring out what you needed to do to be able to put out a podcast?
Phew. I think that's every podcaster's just something that keeps them up at night, is like, what all do I need to get started? What am I supposed to do? And I remember in those early days. Oh, man, it's funny. So father of three daughters. And I remember that I didn't even have like a computer desk that I was set up at. I would set up the computer on this like toy shelf, and it was in my living room. And so you'd see like a bouncy house like a bouncy seat on one side, couch, and just all sorts of kids and baby stuff everywhere. And it cracks me up looking back, because of just those early days of when we first moved and all those things. But it's crazy to think about, because you know, you just kind of come in at first with headphones. You don't necessarily have a mic or anything. It's not something typically most people have laying around. Mm-mm. So you just work with what you've got. Yep. And just let the chips fall where they do. And then finally you find find someone who's like, hey, these are a few things that might be helpful if you want to do this. Hey, these are fairly inexpensive items, like, hey, a Blue Yeti. Like, hey, you buy it and it's a microphone and it's kind of nice, and you might pay $100 now or $90 now, whatever the case is. But hey, you'll have it for years, and it just kind of works out. And so that I think the stress at first, like figuring out what all do I need? What am I supposed to do with this? Like, I don't have a studio. I don't have the phone things to put up on the wall. I don't have like an enclosed space. Like, how do I do this? Mm-hmm. But then you just work with what you've got, and people help you along the way too. So it's fun to navigate that space as well.
Do you ever go back and watch old videos from that time?
On occasion.
Okay.
On occasion. Me too. Yes. Yeah.
The show sheet thing with I just know it's so funny because I was on with Brandon Marianne Lee one time, and you guys told her she was in charge of the show sheet like right before like we were even and she was what? Like so did you guys get a lot of suckers there when it comes to now show sheets, or people pretty used to the open bar? So many
little corny inside jokes that we had, but like are like the people, the core audience, the folks that roll with us, especially early on, they would run with it with us. So when we're talking about the show sheet and you tell someone like right before we go on or right as we go on, hey, you're in charge of the show sheet tonight. And you can tell the folks that maybe have listened to us before yeah. that we're guesting, or the people that had no idea, because then they have this look like, wait, you want me to do what?
Like, you probably made their heart just
how am I
like,
supposed to do that?
Whoa. That's yeah. hilarious.
Great. It's great stuff.
How does it feel to have been like the first podcast that so many of these people have been on that are like growing and growing? There's so many people that I remember watching on your podcast and being like, that person's going to go somewhere. And then they did. Yeah. How does that feel?
Incredible. To be a place that welcomes everybody and that says, We don't care about your accolades. Like if you're here to have a good time and laugh, and if you want to dig into this fantasy space, like we're the place to come hang. We're not cloud chasing. We're not doing any of those things. We're here to truly have a great time, have a community, a space where any and everybody can come and feel welcome. And to be able to have help be a part of creating that and help be a part of a piece of an incredibly small piece along the path of someone finding absurd success or just a great amount of success in this space. It's tremendous to be able to see the grind that so many people take on. And I know that word kind of gets thrown around very nonchalantly when we talk about a grind or the you know, trying to find my space here in the fantasy football community, the industry, and all the other buzzwords that get used. But mm-hmm. so many people want to create and do this full time or do this for a living. And to have folks, and again, I don't want to start naming people because I'll forget an absurd amount of folks. But, you know, to see so many people go from 500 followers, and obviously I'm saying this, I want to be clear to folks, not because they came on the open bar. I'm not saying
that. Are you sure? That's what it sounds like.
All the credit we want and all, though. Just to be able to see folks come on with 500 followers, and you look up now and they're in the 20 plus thousands of followers. It's just really cool to say, or to be able to look up and be like, man, it's been really cool to watch you ascend to the spaces. You've earned it. It's awesome. Congratulations. And look back at those videos and laugh at how little we all knew, or the terrible takes that we had, but just the fun that was had along the way, and how we truly enjoyed that. So that's something I do cherish, looking back and seeing so many folks really rise in this space that paid a visit to us. Again, humbling, I think is the word.
The conversations were great. The drinks were great. I know that I partaked in, I didn't do that today. So I partaked, the drinking on the open bar. So there was a switch that would flip. How, you know, you had so many different guests come on the podcast. And I know that some people are like more extroverted, some are introverted as well. Like you were talking about being introverted. How was managing having all those different personalities on a show?
That's such a good question. And I think when I think about my time looking back on that, one of my strengths, and I don't say this boastfully, I say this because this is what people say about me, is that that I ask good questions and I help build bridges between folks. And so when I look at, or when I even think back on that time, my primary role in that time was to be able to help facilitate conversations. So to be able to ask questions that get people thinking, because I knew when it came to the fantasy space, I don't have all of the answers. I'm not a spreadsheet king like Peter Howard. I'm not some incredible mind like Scott Connor or Zach Reed and the like. Like I don't have a lot of those skills when it comes to the fantasy space and things that make me stand out. But what I can do is that I can ask really good questions and get smart people talking and get people going in terms of a conversation and being able to hear each other out. And so I think that as I continue to go on the open bar, and even, and he won't take the credit for this, but even Gabe, again, Gabe Gearing, his fantasy mind is tremendous, and his ease of being able to add context about a fantasy situation, but then also just be able to talk life and pop culture and anything else. If you want to wax poetic about whatever, Gabe can do it. And so it didn't matter the topic. It didn't matter the lane, the subject, whatever. Gabe is tremendous. Absolutely tremendous in being able to read rooms and help facilitate and slam dunk any alley-oop that I throw him, whether it's a really good pass or a bad pass or whatever. He's fantastic at it. And so just being able to help facilitate those conversations, help people to come together and see where we align, see where we differ, talk through it. That's something that for me got easier and less difficult as we continue to have those repetitions. And I think that's where I flourished, or was able to flourish, was to be able to be a smiling face, be someone to bring positive energy, and being someone that asks good questions to get people who are really smart or really thoughtful or really, really keen in this space to be able to help them build that out as well.
Did you ever have two people on your show that you were like, the Gabe J. Mike moment where you were like, these two people would be perfect on a podcast together?
Yes. So back in the day, two people, some may know, I know people will definitely know one, Peter Howard and Jake Anderson. And we would have time with them. They were both super kind with their time, especially early on with us. And we just remember thinking, like, you guys would be like tremendous, like just doing work together. Like, it would be awesome if you all put a podcast together. And I think we also had a spot on the Dynasty Dummies podcast before, and we would laugh and talk about like, no, you guys would be great together. And we would laugh and throw out random names, thinking about what they would be or what they could do. And eventually they actually came out with a podcast. So Dynasty Bravo. Crossroads, which is what Peter's kind of took the baton and ran with it even after Jake left. But Jake being the one who's kind of more of a film grinder, and Peter was one who's heavy into the numbers and the analytics of the game. They came together and put out absolute heat, like heat as a podcast. So that was a really cool moment to see their chemistry and be able to be like, man, you guys would be awesome. And then they did it and they were awesome. Like, that was super, that so super cool. Validating and encouraging to see that.
That's awesome. You said you were an introvert, and it may not seem like that, but you are. So going into podcasting seems kind of like an off the wall kind of idea. So for people that are listening that are kind of that person that are introverted, what kind of advice do you have for going into podcasting and to continue to like flourish?
That's a great question. I think that one of the difficult things in some instances that introverts face is thinking or even worrying about, hey, is the conversation that's going on in my head or within me going to translate to something that people will value or care about or anything of that nature? And I think that the key is, or one of the keys is, to be able to lean in and do something, speak on something that matters to you and that you care about. Because I tell you what, so many people get behind a mic and they try to be somebody else. And they find, and they may find success, maybe long-term, maybe short-term, I don't know. But so many people get out here and try to be somebody else at this podcasting or at this talking, instead of just leaning into who they are and the gifts that they've been given to be able to lean into and help inspire others. So my encouragement would be, obviously, find a way to get the repetitions in, even if you're just making small recordings for yourself for you to listen to, even if it's for your league. If it's a case where you just want to make something, make a podcast just to, for your league mates to listen to and clown them on something. But find something that you thoroughly enjoy and lean in and just try. And the first few times, the first many times may be awful. But if you find something that you're passionate about, that will come through in what you say and how you present that to folks. And I assure you, if it matters to you, it will matter to at least some other people in this wide world that we live in. And they'll be able to have it resonate with them. They'll share it with folks. And just that community or that connection that you're able to build with people, there is so much hidden value in that, that I think that introverts probably just don't think that is even possible. But I'm a living witness to say that it matters, and your words matter. And you sharing that with the world is something that is, can truly be a blessing to folks.
And if the open bar ever comes back, that's a great starting point for dipping your toes into the water of podcasting.
Absolutely. At some point, Gabe and I flirted with that last year so much, and there was just so much life that happened for the both of us, but mainly me. I'm the problem child in that relationship. just so much happening. But yes, the open bar is absolutely a place for anybody, especially the people who want to do something in podcasting, to be able to come on and have fun, for sure.
Y'all just need to get some guest hosts and you watch late night TV and they have a new person. Yeah, no, we're just, I know that people are constantly like probably asking you, when is it coming back, or where is it? What happened? So is that true?
I feel like they used to a lot. But I think throughout some of the pandemic, and even with a lot of the business that folks have, I think a lot of folks have either not necessarily moved on, because people still reach out like, hey man, love to hear open bar sometime. It'd be awesome. people still have a taste for it. We'll have to figure out if that's something that we can make happen again.
Well, I'm just saying a big group of people. Kind of, there was a wave of people whenever COVID first started that started putting out content, like really putting out content. So now there's this new wave of like 20-year-olds that are coming out here. And it's like, it's nice to see the waves. And you know, when I think back to the people that I first met in the fantasy football industry, the first people that I consider friends in the industry, you're one of the people that I think back to, because I don't know how I got sucked into you guys' world, but it happened. I wasn't even putting out fantasy football content. I was just there. I don't know. Just a sidekick hanging out.
It just kind of
happened. And I wanted to thank you for letting me be on your podcast, because look, I don't think I would have ever even wanted to put a podcast out if I hadn't tried and trying on your show was so comfortable, and it made me feel like, you know, I looked forward during the day. I looked forward to coming on the show because I was like, I like to podcast. I just don't want to deal with anything that comes along with podcasting. I just want to be there, you know? So I wanted to give you that little shout out right there, because I'm sure you know how much you and Gabe have meant to me. And now we're getting all sentimental here, but for real, like it puts a big smile on my face to think back to that time period where I found out about you guys.
Flo Top, first lady of the open bar.
Yeah, baby. I have a hat that says that, guys. And I wear it all the time. And people are like, okay, that's cool. And I was like, you'd have to know. You'd have to really be there. So,
and Casey, it's been really cool to be able to just see you flourish since then, and all the opportunities that you stepped out on, and how nervous you were early on, and how timid in some instances you'd be. But what you've grown into, and how you've been able to let your personality, like who Casey is, really come out and actually flourish and be, and that's someone that attracts so many people to be able to come in and be safe to be themselves. That's something that you've pushed from the beginning, that you're going to be you and you're going to lean into you, and people can get with it or kick rocks. Like it is what it is, but it's been really cool to see you embrace that. And again, from those early years, the spots on the open bar and the ladies' nights and all of the fun that we would have and all of those things, fast forwarding to now, where you get behind a mic and you are smooth, you are poised, you are clear, you are clean. And it's that ascension and that growth from you is, again, one of those things that's a testament to the community, that if folks really lean into the things that they love and that they enjoy, that community that can be built to be able to support folks. And one of those really corny things that I've talked a lot about with my daughters and with even people at work, like support is not a solo sport. Like we all need it. We all need it. When we think we could just get by with kind of doing it on our own, like support's not a solo sport. Like, We need each other, and it's been
for sure.
It's amazing to be able to see even like both of us just be a testament to what that looks like. That's really cool.
Thank you, sir. Therapy, boost bar, and Zoloft. Okay, anyway, and less drinking. There you go. Growing up. Okay, so Dynasty Dummies is something that you brought up earlier as well, and I wanted to talk about that. What exactly, how did you transition to doing that, and how did you find out about Dynasty in the first place?
Yep, Dynasty is one of those weird things that, again, I found out via podcasts, because that league that I was telling you about with my buddies, that was something that we were doing for 7-8 years, and I only knew about redraft. As I listen to more podcasts, get connected with more people, you start to find out, oh, there are different games that are played. Oh, there's something called Dynasty. You mean there's not an off season? You mean that, shout out to our boy, Russ Fisher. You mean that there's a non-point scoring season? Like there's things that continue forward? Like we can keep doing this? And that really piqued my interest, because being someone, again, that gamed all of his life, was a gamer, loved the Madden series and loved Madden franchise specifically, to be able to make trades and draft and train your team up and do all those other things. Like I am a child of the Madden franchise in that sense. And so Dynasty fit so beautifully, so naturally into the things that I thoroughly enjoyed. So by the time that I started learning about Dynasty, again, this is that 20, I want to say it's 2016-ish, but I'm sure that I'm getting my years wrong, because essentially my first year in Dynasty was the Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, all those guys were rookies. And after hearing about it on podcasts, and then obviously getting in the podcast space, somehow, some way, randomly, I still don't even fully remember how this happened, but I joined my first Dynasty League, and it was called the Kamikaze League. And it was run by this little known figure in the space called John Bosch.
No, first one. No, yes. A collective. No, I'm sure everybody listening that knows John Bosch is like, oh, that's wow, okay.
But it was fine. It was cool. It was a bankroll league, and it's a league that's still going today. And a lot of awesome people that I was able to meet. We call ourselves compadres from the Kamikaze League. And so the David Burgers, the Robbie Jeffries, the Clint Followells, Adam Wildes, and so on and so forth. Like, it's a league chock full of names and folks that you've either heard on podcasts, guests on podcasts, put out content in the space. But that was my very first league, and learning very hard lessons early on with the likes of very sharp minds, and we're all kind of learning and growing together. And that was my first foray in the dynasty, and it's been a wild ride of gaining leagues, subtracting leagues, and enjoying along the way.
Yeah, my first dynasty league was all people new to dynasty.
That's the way to do it.
I think no, it's not. Nope. Not also. Nope. Shoot that one down too. Because first and foremost, nobody knows anything about trading, so nobody wants to trade because they're all scared to do it and make a bad mistake, and then it's not. You gotta get into like a trade addicts league or like a. But no, for seriously, not for your first one, because obviously you're not an addict yet. But I do know something about a Trade Addicts League and the J. Mike Invitational. What is that all about? Let the peeps know about that.
I don't even know that I even came full circle into your other
question. We're
going
to get back to it. I didn't want to forget about this. I will make sure we will talk about Dynasty Dummies. We will talk about all of that. But I need to know because I'm in a Trade Addicts League as well. So I need to take some notes now.
Trade Addicts Sticks. Trade Addict Six. Again, shout out to our boy Russ Fisher, Brian Haar. Super grateful for those guys in terms of when it first got started. They were the hosts of Trade Addicts podcast. And I'll try to just make a long story short. The J. Mike Invitational started with just me having just a very spoiled brat like tantrum when I had a really good team one year, and I lost in like weeks, whatever the final week of the season was, the regular season, I lost, and then I ended up losing the bye because of it. And so I got into the playoffs and I had this awesome team, and then I lost in the first round. I was salty, Casey. And so again, I think this is probably 2019 or 2020. I can't, time gets me at this point. And so I'm just like, okay, I'm getting rid of everybody. And so I just start selling off pieces and trading players left and right. And I was upset about it at first. And so all off season, 9-point scoring season, I was a mess. We get into the other season. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna tank like nobody's tanked. Like, I'm going to just blow this thing all the way up. So I had this really awesome team with a bunch of great players, and I said, forget it. Like, I'm just gonna trade. And so I got rid of all, like, everybody. Like, my roster fully turned over. It was wild. So I got a bunch of picks in that draft. I think this was like the Justin Jefferson year. Justin Jefferson, players like that. I think CeeDee Lamb. I didn't get Justin Herbert, but that draft. Anyway, I get a few of those players in that first round. I said, you know what? My team's still not very good. I said, well, what if I actually keep trading to get more picks for the next year? Like, a lot more picks. And I start trading. It's probably like a 10-month process. And I got several firsts down the road. And I was thinking, I can get all of the firsts in this draft. Like, I believe that I can do it. And people weren't really attuned to the fact of what was happening, because I'm making these small trades here, bigger trade. And just making literally in the course of one year, like 80 something trades, and just like trading like crazy. And so when it was really tough to get those final first few picks, but then when I'm able to get them, celebrate like crazy, and I'm getting rooted on by friend of ours, Renshaw. Renshaw is one who he did that in another league where The year before, he was like, I got all the picks. This was awesome. It was great. He loved it. And after I got all the picks and when we got to the actual draft, my whole goal was to just be able to troll my friends in this league and just have fun with it. One of my buddies, Clint Followell, again, talking about our kamikaze league, Clint says, oh, man, it would be crazy if you made a video for every single pick. Light bulb, ding. I said, you are right. Oh, my gosh. Like, that would be crazy. And so I just came up with the term J Mike Invitational because I had all the picks. And from there, made an absurd, silly, hilarious thread of videos, me making every single pick from, I think I had like Travis Etienne at the 101. And I think I took Trevor Lawrence at the 112. It was just absurd, just doing silly stuff with it. But I had a ton of fun and it got a ton of engagement. My league mates were not the happiest with me. And since then, it's been really difficult to trade with people because they have that in the back of their mind. But that's the J Mike Invitational, the year where I got all the draft picks in the first round, 1 through 12, made every single one of the picks and laughed all the way to a championship the next season because of all of that work that was done. But that's the J Mike Invitational.
Oh, I was like, wow. And until you said that it makes it harder to trade with people now, I was like thinking, how many people have actually tried to do that? Have you gotten people who have told you, like, I'm going to try that, or I think I can do that too?
Yes. There have certainly been other folks who have posted pictures or tagged me, or someone saying, you know, have you ever known anybody to get all the picks? And they'll tag me and they'll tag old pictures and old threads and whatnot. But other people have been trying and even been successful in doing so after the fact. But yes, I feel like that's one of those crazy quests. And again, the Trade Addicts Leagues are the perfect place to just try a bunch of crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. So what happens if I can be a mad scientist and just do it without regard or worrying about what's going to happen at the end of this? And yeah, that was that.
I'm trying to get all the second round picks in our 12 Olympians league. No, I'm not really trying to do that, but and then I can have
you
my
got
own.
A lot of them. You got a lot of them.
I do have a lot of them, but that's what I was looking at my roster earlier today, and I was like, oh, okay. So let's get back to Dynasty Dummies, because we were getting there and we got off track, but you know, we're getting back on track. Dynasty Dummies, how did that come about and what is it all about?
Yeah, Dynasty Dummies, it was the brainchild of Kyle LeBrec and Zach Reed. And I believe they started in 2014 or 2015 with their podcast. And like that was a time when there weren't a ton of Dynasty podcasts. There was probably Dynasty Happy Hour folks. There was probably and of course, so I get to naming folks and forget. But
yeah, right. Yeah, I do that all the time, and I'm always, like, I need to stop. It's not my brain can only hold so much at a time.
Exactly. No disrespect to anybody. I'm just trying to go off of memory and what has been told and passed on through generations. but essentially, they had their own podcast. They did an incredible job of just doing them. And obviously everyone loves Zach's opens. Everyone loved the work that Kyle would do to be able to identify various players with numbers and data, especially his efficiency with locating tight ends who could be big deals at the NFL level. And I remember finding their podcast and thoroughly enjoying it. And I remember they reached out to me because they wanted to bring me on to do the Dummy Blitz. And they had an idea. Hey, we really dig what you do. We think you're great, John. And we want you to be part of not, they didn't say this verbatim, but like, hey, part of the crew. Like we want you to be part of the Dynasty Dummies to be able to bring this piece of it along and appeal to the audience and help us be able to tweet out and just be active and engage and ask really good questions. We love what you do in that space. So we want you to do that with us as well. And I remember wrestling with it for a little bit and just telling Gabe, I kind of want to lean into this, but I, at the same time, like, I don't want that to be interfere with the open bar. Like, what do you think? He's like, man, do it. Like, enjoy, like, have fun. And so that space, jumping in with the Dynasty Dummies, doing the Dummy Blitz, where that's a solo venture where I would talk, and it was always, hey, the tagline was always 15 and out. So it's 15 minutes, give you a recap of all the fantasy relevant things that took place on the previous Sunday or Monday of games, and to do that by myself. And it was really one of those things that, again, felt super difficult at first to just be talking to myself into the microphone and be okay with it. But so much positive feedback from it came. And it was one of those things where the repetitions got easier and easier. And so from there, I thoroughly enjoyed the scouting space and understanding more about what, hey, what are you looking for when you're looking for players, and understanding way more of that. And Zach took me under his wing to be able to show me, hey, these are the things that I look for, and these are the ways that I go about basically like a plus and a minus system in terms of, hey, is this trait repeatable? Things of that nature. And fast forward, I was able to continue to help with the scouting space and the rookie hootenanny that we now have. And I've been doing that now for the last several years, joining in on those episodes. And even more so hosting on a more consistent basis in the Dynasty, with the Dynasty Dummies flagship show, if you will, even though we haven't recorded that aside from the hootenanny for a while. But that's where a lot of that began. And again, you talk about people that I've been able to grow and build and do life with. Zach Reed has become someone who has truly been a consistent rock in my life, just as a friend and as a brother and as an encourager, a very stable, steady guy, very level-headed. So when I get in my emotions a little bit, he helps bring me down. Like, hey, John, I'm sorry you're feeling that way. Let's talk about it. Let's deal with this. Let's go about it. And again, someone I would have never guessed, Casey. Let's rewind this all the way back to when I was first just wanting to do fantasy content because I thought it was fun and cool and wanted to enjoy it. I would have never guessed that some of my finest and firmest friends in life, right? People that I've seen in real life on a handful of occasions in the same space, sharing the same space. I would have never guessed that people I would die for, love dearly, like be there for their children, all the things. I would have never guessed that I'd have friends like Gabe or Zach that I would like do life with, like on a day-to-day basis, and not have anything to do with football. Like, it's just that those are my boys. Those are my brothers. Those are my brothers in life. I would have never guessed that. And it's crazy to think of what this fantasy community can be when we get outside of ourselves.
Yeah, I feel you, because you get that core group of people that, like, Russ has always been there for me. So, like, that's my dude, because I go to him, like, podcasting stuff, but also, like, life stuff. So, yeah, yeah. Totally. And Zach Reed's going to have to come on the show. Spoiler alert, this won't come out for, like, week. This episode doesn't come out for a few weeks, so Zach's not even going to know that I asked him, but...
Perfect.
Maybe he will know. I don't know.
Sneak attack.
Doing a solo podcast versus doing a podcast where you have a co-host or have multiple people on it. What is the biggest hurdle that you did notice at first when you went into solo podcasting?
Hey, how do I say something that helps? That helps tell the story well? How do I say it to where other people are actually going to care what I have to say and what I have to think? And so many of those repetitions in the dummy blitz of the what I felt like were failures and me falling all over my words and slipping and sliding all over the place helped build the confidence, the fortitude, the flat out courage to venture out into J Mike's journal. But it's one of those things where when you're by yourself, you're your own worst critic. You listen to the playback. You're like, oh, I don't love that. Whatever, put it out. And people kind of get with it. But being with someone, you can feel that vibe, feel that energy. When you don't have it, they have it. And when maybe they don't have it, you can help supplement. And it's nice to feed off of someone. But when it's you, it's all on you. Like, you got to bring it, and it's not always easy.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. I know that when I do like the intro to the podcast, I like sit there and record myself like 400 times and like try to, and I went back today and listened to like some of the older podcast intros just to see like, because I can't remember what I did the week before for the intro. So I have to go back and, but I went back way far and I'm like, okay, you know, I can't, I haven't gotten any better at like not record. I used to do it like 40 times and I still do it. Like I still, I'm trying to learn that it all sounds the same no matter what. And tips and tricks I'm getting from the show are kind of helping me too. When I talk to people about like, do you listen to yourself talk? Are you one of those guys that likes your voice? Cause I know a lot of people like your voice.
I don't dislike my voice, but sometimes when I listen back, I'm just like, oh no, dog. I don't know. but it is really strange when people are like, oh man, like I would pay to listen to you read the phone book. And I'm like, wait, what? but again, humbling. But it's one of those things where I don't hear that. But again, hey, even if I don't see it in myself, what does it look like for me to be able to use it to help lift other people up, to help push people forward, to help bring people together? And that's that I think that's a really cool thing.
I mean, 100%. I was going to, because you said about the phone book here earlier, I had asked who should come on the podcast and people were saying J. Mike, right? And here's Zach Reed. I think Peter's been on already. Okay. Cause somebody asked for Peter. But I absolutely sign up to hear J. Mike talk, even if he just goes on and reads a phone book to Casey. So that's not happening. That'll be on J. Mike's second episode. The second part of this episode will just be him reading a phone book. So if you guys have any requests for phone books that he should read.
Do they still make phone books? Is that a thing?
I don't know, because I remember I used to get them on the porch when I lived at my other house and then just putting them in the recycle bin because it's like,
not using that.
Why? Yeah. So we might need to come up with a new phrase instead of phone book. I don't know what we would be reading, but.
I need the DAP network back office budget that y'all have, all the researchers for the DAP network. I need them getting to work on. What can I read? What can we find that yes. works instead of phone book?
I will definitely have to talk to the group and have them figure it out. We'll get back to you. So, J. Mike, watching football with you, how is that? If I was not, I mean, I know I'm different than if like just an average Joe sits down because I'm so cool and passionate about football. Absolutely. But no, how is sitting down with you though to watch football?
It depends on who's on, but regardless, if a pass is dropped, and this is basically a testament to what I see my children do now, if a pass is dropped, the first thing that you'll hear out of my mouth is "catch the ball!" Come on, that it irritates me when passes are dropped. But I'm pretty chill. Sometimes I'll talk through various plays and what people were thinking, or. Obviously, because I was a defensive lineman, I'll talk a lot about various techniques and things that were used in the game. But when I'm with other people that I'm not super duper comfortable with, I try to limit all of that inner dialogue that I have that just kind of bubbles out. But so sometimes it can be super passionate, and sometimes I can just try to be quiet and I'll just say a few things here and there. But inevitably, as I get more and more comfortable, more of my background, the technique and all these various things come out when it comes to strategy and all the other things. I'm a mess sometimes when it comes to that.
Writing articles is a thing that, you know, it's kind of hard to know where to start, where to look, where to go. So when you started putting out articles, how did you go about finding a spot to publish your articles and put out your work?
Yep. So I ended up not even doing a ton of articles, and I cannot, Casey, for the life of me, count how many that I started and finished and never saw the light of day anywhere. So yeah. I think I would just always try to find a fun place that spoke to something random throughout either my day or my week or something that I just was thinking about that wasn't necessarily about football, but something that I could incorporate. And again, that comes from a lot of my previous writing and just trying to be creative and leveraging that side of the old brain. But yeah, a lot of it was just leaning into trying to be clever, trying to have some fun there. But I started and even in some instances finished more articles that only I saw, which is a travesty in itself, but it kind of is what it is.
Well, and you like to write. You did say that something that you enjoy doing. So I think writing sometimes is hard for people to want to put their work out. Like, they want to write it, but they don't want to share their work because, you know, and I've had people come into my inbox and ask me to read their stuff. And really, I'm not a good writer. So I'd say, yes, I will. And then I forget to write them back because I'm also not good at remembering things. But were there any tips or tricks that you learned would make your life easier when you were writing articles, or something that was kind of like a hack to get you like going?
I think for me, I didn't have a ton when it came to tips or tricks, but one thing that I thoroughly enjoyed was just talking about the most random mundane thing. Right. And it can be whatever. And it can be a one word start to the sentence. Bingo. And, talking about something random like, hey, everyone loves to be able to shout bingo because, whatever. And just kind of droning on and being able to leverage and tie that into something. So sometimes I would just literally take a pad of paper, as I have right here in front of me, a little small pad of paper, and I would just write either random words that came to me throughout the day, or if it was something that may have happened, or even something that I might have had with a meal, how am I feeling, whatever. And it all just goes on a piece of paper. And that's whether it's in some instances when I was trying to write articles, but even more so when it comes to when I try to do spoken word stuff, poetry. That's typically where I lean a lot of my talents to in that space. That's where it would start. And it that helps the brain just to be able to get out of the box that work and life can put it in. So that's my strange process. I don't know if it works for everyone, but it was helpful for me.
You had brought up earlier about meeting some people from the community in person. How is that experience meeting people that from the internet that are into the same stuff you are? How is that meeting them in person versus just talking to them online or video?
I think for me, there's a freedom there that isn't necessarily found in the day to day. There are people that you've shared leagues with, shared time with, shared all these various hours of trade talks or podcasts or random conversation about their families. And to be able to meet these people in real life and just have conversation come incredibly easy because we know one of the reasons why we get along or why we share space together, it's freeing. Like it really is. There's a freedom. There's a space of recognizing I can let down some of my walls, maybe not all of them, but I can let down some of my walls because this person to some degree gets me, and we can nerd out over this one thing. And that's something that you don't necessarily get to experience much on a day-to-day basis. That's something I hold very near and dear.
What do you like to do when you have free time? I know that you're a busy guy and there's a lot going on. But what do you do when you have the time and you can do what fun stuff you like to do?
Oh, man, free time.
I know. This is like the hardest question for everyone.
I think right now, so much of my time is just building into my girls. And they're just really pivotal ages. Again, father of three. And obviously trying to build in time when it comes to free time, like really loving my wife well, really loving my girls well, really encouraging them forward, leaning into them. I would love to say that I have a ton of different hobbies and whatnot, but between music and singing, I sing at my church usually once a month. I help lead worship there, but singing, writing when I can, which has been hard to do, but building into my family is really been the space that a lot of my free time, quote unquote, free time is, and trying to catch up on rest when I can, because I'm finding as I get older, like this rest, being able to turn your brain off and really breathe and take time outside of screens and all these other things. Mm-hmm. And I also found that reading is super helpful with that. So reading a book, one thing I've been doing is reading at least one book each month. That's something that's been helpful to help quiet the mind too. So those are some of the things I like to try to incorporate.
Yeah, I need to do that. I need to read a book instead of getting on my phone before I go to bed, because that is so bad.
And give it a try, Casey. I'm telling you.
I know. My therapist tells me all the time, hey, no, don't do that. And I'm like, don't have your phone out when you like, ugh, my bad. Anyway, so you are a girl dad, which is something I will never be. So I don't know the experience of being a girl dad, but what is the experience of being a girl dad like?
When you're a dad and you're first having children, I think at least for me, my main thing is, man, just let my babies be healthy. Please, God, let my babies be healthy. That's kind of the plead. And I think deep down, dads, deep down, whether we all admit it or not, I think there's a small piece of us when you're having your first child, just like, you know, man, if I have a son, I can take him to games and I can, you know, throw football with him and do all these other things. And I remember that when we found out we were having a girl, and I was just overjoyed. And then I remember asking my wife, like, hey, what am I supposed to do with the daughter? And she said, what are you talking about? Whatever you enjoy, whatever you like, your daughters are going to like too. Or your daughter at the time is one, obviously, your daughter's going to like as well. Like, what are you talking about? And I just remember thinking, like, ah, I hear you, but I don't know. And sure enough, as I've grown, you know, whether it be tossing a ball together, whether it be playing board games, whether it be whatever it is, that they enjoy the things that I like too. So it's one of those things that, again, I think it is a privilege to be able to say, hey, I get to help usher the hearts of these young ladies throughout some really difficult, challenging relationship times as they grow up and as they go through their emotions and all these other things. And I get to be their first love, and I get to show them, and again, the privilege of being able to show them how a man's supposed to treat a woman. What does love look like? What does it look like to care for someone? What does it look like to truly have someone be selfless and care for me like my dad does? Because if you don't love me like my dad loves me, then like you can get to step in. it's not here. And so that's just really, that's where so much of my focus is right now. And it's crazy to think I'm up in the mornings getting hair, you know, doing everybody's hair before they go out. And I would have never, again, we talk about these things in life, Casey.
Yeah.
Things I would have never guessed I was doing and helping them get their hair done. Like I'm doing 3 heads of hair in the morning before school. Not something I would have guessed 11 years ago that would be where we are. But hey, look at me now, mama.
I can totally understand why the open bar is not happening at the moment. I can't imagine having 3 daughters. I mean, probably 3 daughters better than 3 sons. I don't know. I don't have any kids yet. But, you know, that's the thing. Family is, it is important to have that family there. Your wife, how does she feel about the fantasy journey that you have and all this fantasy football stuff that you're into?
I think even early on, she knew that it would just be a platform to help love people well and to encourage people well and to be able to, again, use the gifts in my life experience that I've been given to share with others. And even though there are many times where she doesn't want to share me,
the time,
and I know you can relate to that, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Right?
There's a lovely lady at home that wants to take time with you and wants to be there and share time or just do whatever, even do just the mundane things. Let's just sit here and eat popcorn and watch a show or whatever. And that those times are special. And that balance. And I think that she's been someone who, while she didn't always love or enjoy the fact that I was doing it, she was always supportive of what it was about from a big picture standpoint. And again, how it helps bring folks together and how I can share love and encouragement through that.
That, yeah, And everything, I think that when I first started this podcast, I was learning so much about taking the time to think about what you're doing before you do it, before you say yes to that podcast, mm-hmm. or before you decide that you're going to do, you know, something that's out of the ordinary. Like, I'm sorry, I can't do this. I can't hang out with you tonight because I know this, that, and the other. It's like, I learned a lot about how to work with a schedule, how to tweak things to make things so that I could spend as much time as possible mm-hmm. with my wife and my friends and get my work done correctly and all that other stuff, but also be able to do fantasy stuff. So yeah. Like be able to balance that out. And, you know, yeah, I learned a lot and everything you said is correct. I mean, for sure. I think some of the people that I've talked to were like, I didn't realize like how difficult it is to schedule things and to get things to work so that
because you want to do it all. You want to guest on that podcast that yep. wants you on. You want to be there every week consistently for whatever you have going on. You want to do all those things and understanding that other people need you as well and those obligations that you may have outside of podcasting. It's a hard thing to really consolidate and merge and have everything work the way that you love it and trying to find that space that allows you to be able to have the creative area to thrive and to meet the needs of your family and your loved ones. Like it takes time and it takes some scheduling gaffes and it takes, unfortunately, sometimes cancellations or breaks or whatever it is to ensure mm-hmm. that there is balance and that you don't get stuck in a spot where maybe you're happy, but the people who trust you most in your sphere of influence are not thriving because they're not getting what they need from you. And then it's also hard when you don't get that creative outlet,
yeah.
but the people around you are so happy that you're there and being able to build into them too. So it's an interesting balance and it takes a lot of sometimes trial and error and a lot of tough times too.
Before we go, I know I hate saying before we go because it means it's almost time to stop.
Such a bummer.
You know, I plan on, first, my goal was like, I want to talk to everybody in the fantasy space, but the fantasy space is huge. And the second one was like, I want to have two episodes with people, like have them come back on, which I do want to do, but what do I want to do? but Jay Mike, before we go, what exactly be encouraged and encouragement is very, very important to you. And it makes me happy whenever I hear you use the word and it's kind of like your thing. Like that's how I think of you. And I think of the encouragement. What exactly does that mean to you? And how do you show that to others?
Yeah. I appreciate you asking that because that makes me take a step back and really, really, really reassess. When I think of being encouraged, I think of, and even just to look back for a second, 2019, I talked about that was the year my brother passed. It was the year my aunt passed less than 2 weeks later, and my mom got cancer. And there were several other crazy things that happened in that year, but 2019 was one of, if not the hardest times of my life. And I think so much about how in our lives, there are so many things that pull, that want our time, that want our attention. And so many of the things are not worthwhile and they're not worth chasing after, but they hold our attention, whether it be time in social media, whether it be various habits or hobbies that we have, whether it be destructive activities, whatever it is, like so much of life weighs heavy all the time. And so I think about like what is it that either helps people get through the day or what is it that people are truly living for? And I just think so much about the fact that if you are breathing on any given day, that means that you've got purpose in your steps still. that if you're breathing, that the journey's not over. Guy's not done with you at all. And I think that it's one of those really cool things that when we think about courage, obviously it's not the absence of fear, but it's being able to stand tall in the midst of it and be encouraged no matter what life throws at you. The fact that if you're able to read that, if you're able to hear that, that means that the battle's not over. And I just think so much about how many things in our world try to take away from our well-being, to take away from our joy, and just take away from who we were created to be. And when I say that, when I say be encouraged, I know some people probably get tired of it, which it is what it is. But for the folks that it resonates with, it's that little push to be able to say, it's not over. You're not alone in this. There's people in your corner that you may never meet ever, and that may never tell you that they're rooting for you, that they're praying for you, that they've got your back, that hey, you're going through this hard time. I went through it too. I got through it. It wasn't easy. It wasn't fun, but if I can, you can as well. And that's, I think, a lot of what is wrapped up when I think about being encouraged, just being able to continue forward, understanding the battle's not over. You're not alone. And that there's so much purpose in each step and each breath that you have to be able to hopefully take you one step closer to a God that loves you, to someone that literally chose to die, would rather die than to spend eternity without you. That's a lot of what's wrapped up when I think about when I say that. So yeah, thank you for asking that. That was that makes me chew a lot. I like that.
I just wanted to hear what you had to say, because you just have a way with expressing things in a way that just connect. So it's nice to hear that. J. Mike, can you go ahead and just let everybody know where they can find you and what you have going on?
For sure. So I am on Twitter at J. Mike Check. I'm also on Instagram, also at J. Mike Check. I don't frequent either nearly as much as I once did. I'm trying to lean back into Twitter a little bit. Just making sure that I don't consume too much, because some things just aren't great to do on that space right now. Yeah. But those are the two places that you can find me. I'm also, again, if the open bar ever fires back up with me and my boy Gabe Gearing, you can find me there. You can find me on the Dynasty Dummies. And right now we're in the midst of our rookie hootenanny. And I get to share that space with Zach Reed, as well as Matt Foreman. And again, J. Mike's Journal, which is a labor of love. And I don't put out near as much content there as I probably would want to, but it also has continued to help serve a purpose of helping me to work through a lot of really difficult things in my life. So while I would love to record it more regularly, it has done and is doing what it's supposed to do, which is to help me get through some things and help bring people along in that too. So that's a solo venture where I talk through a lot of my life stuff and just try to help encourage folks forward. So yeah, those are the few places that you can find my voice or my thoughts or randomness as well.
Thank you again for coming on. And we will have to do this again soon. We will. I've got some things in the works. So let's just, ooh. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. And the expo, I don't know. Are you going to go to the expo this year?
That's the plan. Okay. Yeah. This will be year four of the expo. Whatever the first year was, yeah. I went when it was like in that little area and nobody went, or it was very few people, but it was great. I went this past year as well. So yeah, either year three or year four, whatever it is, my plan is to be there. I'm excited for it.
I met J. Mike in person. Anyway, I met J. Mike in person. Hey. Anyway. All right, guys and gals, make sure that you come back next week for another episode of Get Real with Casey Kasem, and remember to stay rad.